Anybody recognize that knight? Templar. You know that, and they get a lot of bad press. If any of you have read Dan Brown, you really don't know your history very well. Now, of course, they did some bad stuff, but they were warriors to protect the pilgrims to Jerusalem during the Crusades, if you will. So, and the Crusades themselves get a bad reputation. Sin is worse than we think it is. The spiritual reality of sin. It's our nature, folks. We are born with a sin nature. And so God saves us, but also God provides that armor of God from Ephesians 6. And once again, don't you love, I couldn't get Scott to put on the armor for us. But Chuck and Sue donated. That is some really, really nice stuff. But that is talking about how God prepares us for spiritual warfare. Folks, that's the real battle. So when you watch the news and you hear about all this, you know, just the garbage, the crime, the wars, the violence, we as Christians realize that it ultimately has a spiritual root. In fact, if you remember, probably 6 months ago, did a whole sermon on Ephesians 6, prepare for battle with the armor of God. But spiritual sin, that's the cause, leads to sin in actions and deeds, evil acts. And so today we are going to talk about standing against evil. How can we as Christians, as a church family, and what does the Bible say about standing against physical evil, which is a manifestation of the spiritual evil? So physical. So, first of all, we are also Americans, and the government's role under our Constitution, the Declaration of Independence talks about we supposedly value life, liberty, and property, pursuit of happiness, property. Those are inalienable rights. Those come from God. And so we're going to look at what that means today. And so the inherent worth of individuals, that is something we as a country, just, not just Christians, we are supposed to respect that. The inherent worth, so you can get into all sorts of, controversial, well, they're not really controversial according to God's word, but the value of human life, things like just war, capital punishment. The Bible is pretty clear about stuff like that. And sometimes we don't have a proper understanding of the spiritual root of that and what we should be doing and are allowed to do, not only according to the Constitution, but biblically. We have individual rights. So if we can defend ourselves as a nation, put to death violent, capital crime punishment, how does that filter down to us as individuals or a church family? So self-defense is a major topic in the Constitution. We have the Second Amendment. That's number two for a reason. And, so you hear all about our wonderful state, gun control, all that. Now you may not like guns individually. Sorry, it's in the Constitution. Deal with it. But self-defense. And so just even at a physical level, when are we allowed, according to the law, to have a reasonable man defense? What's a lawyer going to say if we are forced to defend ourselves? Well, did they have the ability? Did they have the opportunity? Were you in jeopardy for death or, grievous bodily harm? And then preclusion. Was that the only thing you could do? Stand your ground type laws? Or could you just run away? So when the government And, you know, we're all Americans here, except there's some of these Aussie Brits. he is a citizen of the U.S. too, so came back to the colony side. But when the government doesn't or neglects its duty, a good verse is Ecclesiastes 8:11. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, you know, swift justice, impartial, swift justice, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Is that not a true statement? And you look at the news and, you know, what district attorneys and, you know, for just coddle these guys, you know, that'll make them stop. Well, they're reaping what they sowed. So that's the Constitution. That's what we as Americans, you know, that's a secular government. But our Constitution and America was founded on these Judeo-Christian ideals about inalienable rights. So what does the Bible say? What does it say about self-defense? But Jesus said that you're to turn the other cheek. You have heard what it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. Yeah, right there. Don't resist. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. See, that's that pacifist, love that verse. But the word slaps in the original language is basically a sharp, open-handed slap. You know, not a violent attack, but it's a sharp, open-handed, and, you know, right-handed people back then. On the right cheek would have been a backhanded sort of an insult. So it's meant as an insult, a backhand. So what that verse is actually saying, Jesus is saying, no private vengeance. Get over yourself. It's not about retribution privately. You know, they insulted me, I'm going to do unto him as he did unto me, you know, type of thing. But it does not refer to a violent physical attack. A general illustration throughout Scripture. We have a right to escape from danger. Think of David escaping from Saul when Saul tried to pin him against the wall with a spear. You know, but he should have turned the other cheek. Oh yeah, he should have given the spear back to Saul and said, here, try again. No. Or Jesus escaping the anger of mobs, you know, where they wanted to stone him or throw him off a cliff. Jesus, you know, got away from him. Or the Apostle Paul escaping Damascus from King Aretas, you know, coming down over the basket. So preserving ourselves from violence or escaping danger, Bible's full of illustrations. Or just even as a bigger principle, protection from wild animals. Are we allowed to protect ourselves from wild animals? Think about David protecting the sheep when he was a young shepherd. And then, this was more at the national level, but then he went out and fought Goliath, you know, as a shepherd. You might say it's a sheepdog protecting the people. Well, but Pastor, what about thou shalt not murder? You know, or kill is what some translations mistranslate. Thou shalt not murder. Well, the word is murder. And just a quote from the Westminster Larger Catechism, which is a great doctrinal statement from the more reformed churches. The sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder, forbids all taking away the life of ourselves or of others, except in the case of public justice, capital punishment, lawful war, just war theory, or necessary defense. So that's a very accurate interpretation overall of Scripture that the Westminster writers understood. So what are some self-defense principles? Some illustrations in the Old Testament. Think of Nehemiah. In chapter 4, all the people were against the Jews rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. What did Nehemiah do? They built with swords in one hand while they did the work with their other hand, or you had people protecting them while the wall was being built. Or think of back during the Jewish festival of Purim. We talked a little bit about this. But Mordecai and Esther, they wrote an authorizing the Jewish people to defend themselves. And that's what is being celebrated. The extermination of the Jews. The Jews were commanded to defend themselves. And a great fear fell on the Persian citizens, you know, because of the Jewish people, God's people. Or, I love this one, in Exodus 22. This is Jewish civil law now, but so killing an intruder who breaks in at night. If you are forced to kill him, there is no blood guilt. But then I love the next verse it talks about. But during the day, you know, hopefully the authorities are going to catch him and he has to make restitution and pay fines and stuff. But self-defense at night when there's no one there to help, you know, the police aren't there, type of thing, you were allowed to defend yourself. And that's civil law. Or another one in Deuteronomy 22. If you were defending a young woman out in the country, you know, she's been attacked and, you know, sexually assaulted. If she calls for help, who's out there? Well, if you hear that and there's no one else, you have the right and you are innocent in God's law to go protect that woman. So the idea of self-defense principles are also throughout Scripture. But then what about Jesus himself? In Luke 22, you know this verse. Then he said to them, "But now who has a money bag, let him take it. And likewise, a knapsack." You know, going out to evangelize out in the dangerous world, we might say. You know, Rome provided some law and security, but out there were brigands out in the, you know, out in Teller County. I don't know about Park County, but I think in Teller County. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garments and buy one, a sword. What was a sword used for? For I say to you that this which is written must be still accomplished in me. And he was numbered with the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. So they said, "Look, Lord, here are two swords." And he said to them, "Is enough." Now there's, you know, I'm not going to go into how people, I think, do a lot of gymnastics trying to prove that that's a metaphorical sword, things like that. But just a plain reading of the text. Jesus was, you know, you're not going to go start a revolution. You're not going to become those evil Nazi Christian nationalists. No, but for self-defense against evil as you are doing the Lord's work. So, the sanctity of human life at all stages from conception to death. The Bible talks about protecting the innocent. Remember, it starts spiritually evil. And that manifests. People are not sinners because they sin. People are not sinners because they're sin. They are sinners, so they do sin. And that's where these evil actions come from. So the ultimate security for us is like Ben sang, you know, we ultimately trust in the Lord. Yes, Martin Luther's the best hymn ever written. Amen. Not amen. Luther would have said it the way Jesus says it. Amen. But our ultimate security is in that mighty fortress. And in a fallen world, we stand against evil. So I hope that makes some sense. I hope that just brief biblical, what the Bible does say about this. The theoretical, you might say. But now we are going to have a little bit of a practical application about what we can do as a family. You know, we're not going to go out and conquer Park County, even though they probably need it. But, you know, Christian National, but do we have the right to defend ourselves from the bad stuff that happens? And I say, and the Bible says, absolutely yes. Because hopefully we are doing what God wants us to do. And we have a right to defend our, if necessary. You know, least amount of force if we need to. But this is what, this are. We have a wonderful security team here. And, you know, and Don and Lee and Mike Riley and all the guys on the security team really are the sheepdogs who are in the background protecting a sheep so we can worship God. So now we're going to have a little bit of time of just practical application. And so I will say, if you are a visitor and wisely never want to come back, no, you are free to go, but this will be some good practical stuff just for, you know, gatherings in general. And turn on the news. We see, you know, things that happen in churches down in Colorado Springs, or a couple weeks ago, our friends next door got broken into. You know, it was in the middle of the night, but what are we to do about that? Well, whatever we do, it's to be for the glory of God. And so now, done. Now you're instructor for the day, but just some very practical, you know, think of it almost like a fire drill. Just being prepared for